Hey there, anime fans. This is Amazing Veeam here coming to you again with a little bit more anime news and a first time for an anime review. So today we're actually going to be talking about the Inuyasha sequel, Yasha Hime, and I'm going to be providing a nice review for you guys. Over my first time watching it, I was going into it pretty blind, and hope you stay tuned and enjoy today. Little tidbit about this review, it will be a spoiler review, so if you want to watch Yasha Hime spoiler free without my commentary, then please click away and hopefully you will come back and hear what I had to say about it, and we can both enjoy watching it together for the duration of its run. So take it easy. So I wanted to go ahead and add a little bit more information on Yasha Hime. I actually, like I said, I was going into this series pretty blindly. And I did go back and just get a summary for you guys, because I wanted to read a summary for you guys just in case anyone hasn't seen the original, or if you have never actually read about what the story is about. But basically, obviously, like I said, this is a sequel to Inuyasha, so there was a whole story, a whole series before this, and this is kind of picking up. I'll go ahead and read a summary for you guys just so you have a little bit of an idea about what the story is about, but here it goes. The series takes place 6 months after the events of the final act finale. Inuyasha and Kagome fight Nanokubi that Kikyo sealed away right before meeting Inuyasha over 50 years ago. Years later, the daughters of Shoshomaru and Inuyasha set out on a journey transcending time. In feudal Japan, half-demon twins Toa and Setsuna are separated from each other during a forest fire. While desperately searching for her younger sister, Toa wanders into a mysterious tunnel that sends her into present-day Japan, where she is found and raised by Kagome, younger brother Sota, and his family. 10 years later, the tunnel that connects the two eras has reopened, allowing Toa to be reunited with Setsuna, who is now a demon slayer working for Kohaku. But to Toa's surprise, Setsuna appears to have lost all memories of her older sister. Joined by Moroha, the only daughter of Inuyasha and Kagome, the three young women travel between the two eras on an adventure to regain their missing past and resolve the crisis that is more deadly than Naraku and the Shikan no Tama, or the Jewel of Four Souls. So that was a quick summary of Yasha Hime and some of the things that will be entailing. Like, for example, going into the episodes, I did not know that Toa and Setsuna were Sesshomaru's children, and Inuyasha and Kagome only had one child. So that kind of took me by surprise, and I just wanted to read that good summary just to kind of give you guys a quick overview of what to expect from the series, and, you know, I guess to also hear, just kind of speculate, you know, what kind of that greater evil than Naraku was, because just going into, I guess, speculation, starting off with Naraku and the villain of this show, is one of the things that kind of that makes me wonder is what kind of villain can be greater than Naraku, because if you remember from the first show, Naraku was a very well-connected demon. He basically knew how to like scheme his way into different people's minds and really manipulate like just anyone he touched to really, you know, create a big obstacle for the main heroes. And Naraku is really one of the better villains I've seen in anime in general, just because he is very stealthy and he's not only very powerful, but he obviously, like I said, he has ways of manipulating people into doing things that really suit his own agenda. And that's a little bit scary if there's an evil out there even greater than Naraku that we might be seeing in Yasha Hime, and how will the characters in Yasha Hime actually match up to something that's even greater than Naraku? You know, are they eventually going to have to call the older characters back to kind of help them, or is this something that they will build up over time through their characters and become stronger than, just strong enough to defeat this evil? So we shall see about that. That's going to be one thing that I'm kind of speculating about. Also another thing that I just wanted to talk about is the Setsuna and Toa. I had no idea that they were related or that they were sisters or anything like that. That really surprised me, and it's going to be interesting to see them trying to, you know, bring their relationship into light, even though they've been separated at birth and everything. I feel like we'll see where their story goes. That's kind of up in the air. That can go either way. I think that can be a very touching story, depending on how well they open up the two characters. I don't want their characters to be more of like friendship kind of thing. Obviously they're sisters, and I think that can lead to some very, very, very deep storytelling on a very personal note. you know, there's not just love between like romantic partners, there's love between family members and, you know, just acquaintances that become friends, etc. I'd love to see a very heartwarming story around something like that, you know, because the thing is, the original show did a very excellent job of fleshing out the Inuyasha and Kagome romance, and I, you know, if this has some of the same writers as the previous show, then they shouldn't have any problem finding a way to really show a different type of love, a kind of love between sisters that, you know, I don't think it's been explored as much in anime, obviously, as romantic relationships, so that could be something they can really touch some new ground on and really get the ball moving. So I guess finally is one of the biggest questions we have with this new series is what's going to happen to the original characters. You know, I've gone to the first episode where they focused a lot on the main characters from the original show, and we are starting to see a few of the downsides of them not having as strong of powers as they did in the first show. So it's really gonna be interesting to see where those characters go. If in the next episode, in episode two, if they're gonna completely cut those characters out and just mention them by name, and then we're gonna have to go on a little journey throughout the show to see, you know, whatever happened to them, and that's gonna be one of the biggest mysteries. So, you know, everyone loved the ending for Kagome and Inuyasha. They had a happy ending and everything, and this is kind of picking up where it's kind of, it has the possibility of, you know, destroying that nice ending that we got and really kind of sending fans into another frenzy, like, oh, this is going to be another, you know, Indiana Jones or Star Wars or something where they're going to completely mess up the original story and we're going to have to, you know, really do damage control on these companies just making a money grab, basically. So we'll see where their relationship goes and if they can really spark into something else. Or if the characters are okay, if they're dead, alive, you know, whatever that entails. So first, I just wanted to start off talking about the music. The music has obviously been like a big factor in a lot of anime, especially considering with Inuyasha's history. For the original series, they brought many guests to sing the ending theme songs. And this in turn actually opened up a big gateway to people for hearing Japanese pop for the very first time. They had many high-charting Japanese artists such as BoA or Hamasaki Ayumi, or just many others, even Duez Infinity, who provided a lot of their very memorable ending themes throughout the Inuyasha series. And even though this time they didn't have those big names, I did want to make a note about the music this time. For the opening, I'd probably give the opening probably about a good 8.5 out of 10. It was really an exciting opening. I love the animation that went along with it. I felt like it was very dynamic for the music they were providing. I think the one downside I have is it was more rock-oriented rather than pop-oriented. And I did think that kind of took away from the original series a little bit, because the original theme song was sung by V6, Change the World. And I think for a lot of people, that was kind of a very special song. It really opened up the whole world of Inuyasha to them. Going to the show, and also the ending theme for the first Inuyasha series was My Will by Dream, and that was a very just beautiful, almost poetic kind of end theme that was coupled with very good animation for the time also. So just making a quick note about that, for the end theme, I'd probably give that also about an 8.5 out of 10. I think that they will both grow on me, which is a good thing. I do like the small little sprinkles of EDM kind of sprinkled in the end theme of this show. And hopefully you guys will probably enjoy it too. I definitely think I'll be listening to it, you know, on my music devices and just enjoying the song in general. So I do give both of them an 8.5 out of 10. And I do think they will be growing on me, so that number will probably appreciate in the future. Next, I want to talk about the story. In this first episode, it's obviously, you know, we're getting reintroduced to some of these characters we haven't seen in a while, like Inuyasha, Kagome, Kohaku, Sango, who has children, just etc. All the original cast is back in the very beginning episode. However, the episode focuses mostly on them and not so much on the newer characters. The newer characters are given a brief introduction, like Toa, who has been captured by a couple of feudal lords, and they're trying to basically question him, saying, oh, you're from the future, you're going to tell us what's going to happen to our clan, so you can tell us that. But Toa obviously doesn't want to tell that, because that will give away future and will change history. So Toa decides to go ahead and play dumb, and we are given a small flashback to how Inuyasha, Kagome, and all the friends in the past were able to kind of congregate after the final battles of the original series. So I will say, out of the new characters so far, from the little bits that we did get of them, Toa would probably be my favorite. I do think that she had a, sort of a wittiness about her and sort of a smartness about her, about the world around her and how she reacts to it. I think that's very something that's very important on an adventure like this. The other two that showed up, I believe, just from looking at one of the previews, one of them is his sister and the other one is sort of just another demon hunter. And basically, I do enjoy their chemistry. I think they will have a fun chemistry to kind of play around with. So the characters, they get along with each other enough that they can finish a plan and help each other out. But obviously, you know, the different personalities. Toa is a little bit more reserved, I think, a little bit more analytical. The other two seem like they're a little bit more go-getters, or they're just a little bit more rough around the edges. And it's going to be fun seeing how that kind of plays out over the course of this series. As for what happened to the original cast, I think that that was a very interesting way to open up the show. It did make me curious because we actually didn't get an answer about what happened to them, but it did make me curious about, you know, what eventually led to the events of this new team coming together. Because, like I said, this episode focused a lot on the original cast, and it did put a small note on how the original cast has basically been wounded in terms of their power. I think Moroku, he basically said, like, oh, I don't have my tunnel for my hand, that power that he used to have in the original show. And Sango, I don't want to be sexist or anything, but that did surprise me that she was, you know, so willing to jump back into action so easily. And obviously it seems like she's kept her figure after having two kids, or three kids rather, so that was a little bit surprising. But and it was a little bit sexist, I think, on the part of the characters just to kind of not include Sango or Kagome in these important demon hunting discussions that they were having. But overall, I did enjoy the episode. It felt like a very good throwback to the original show, just to, you know, just seeing what the baseline was back in the original show. They would go out to the countryside hunting demons, and then they would, you know, slay the demon, purify the village, and on to the next episode or the next little story bit. So they were following pretty closely to the original story, but I think that was just to kind of, you know, introduce the newer fans and obviously give the older fans something nostalgic to kind of look back to. But I think they did a very good job on that. Overall, I will probably say this episode should be given, I would say, maybe a 9 out of 10. I did think that there were a few places where the animation could have been slightly better, such as some of the action scenes, or I can tell you exactly where one was at the near the beginning when two of the two of the thieves who were running from village to village saying, oh, this village is kind of crap, you know, let's go to another one. And then they subsequently get attacked by the demon and they get their heads cut off, basically. So I did think that small moment of animation was a little bit lazy. I can just tell the animation quality went down just slightly. And then they had to resort to CGI just to kind of, you know, show their bodies decomposing and et cetera, et cetera. I thought that was a little bit lazier. But like I said, I think this is another one of those shows that's under a strong time constraint. So they're going to have to find ways of just using CGI to kind of get the point across. Overall, though, the animation was good. I think it was just, like, again, on the faster parts, I think they kind of lowered the quality a little bit just because they had to kind of rush and, you know, really get to the point. And like I said, on a show with this kind of tight schedule, I think that's okay. So once again, I think I will give this episode probably, I'll say, a 9 out of 10. There were just a couple of places where the animation was a little bit, it was a little bit reduced and decreased, and I think that I personally just giving it small little nitpicky marks about that. It really didn't affect the whole overall story, which is pretty good. I think this episode did a very good job of making me want more, wanting to see more of these new characters. It didn't give a lot of the new characters, and I think that was kind of a little bit of a letdown. You know, we've been hyped up to see some of these new characters, and we only got probably about, you know, 3 or 4 minutes of them. But the next episode seems like it's going to be building up to telling their story a lot more deeply, and I am looking forward to that. This episode did a good job of setting that up, and we will see where this series goes. So I hope you guys enjoyed this review of Yashahime, the first episode. I will probably be doing more of these coming up, hopefully once a week, and we will see how they go. And I hope you guys enjoy and watch this series along with me, and take it easy. This is Amazing Bean, and I'll see you later. Bye. Hey there, anime fans. This is Amazing Bean here, coming to you again with a little bit more of some anime announcements we could be having for the podcast. First starting off, I just wanted to talk about the Twitch channel. If you didn't know, Animanga Nation has a Twitch channel on AMN. If you look us up on Twitch, I'm sure you'll be able to find us. It's like a little flower icon. Go ahead and subscribe there. I just wanted to go ahead and announce that every Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday at around 1 p.m. Pacific time, or around 10 o'clock Eastern time, we will be streaming, or I will be streaming Amazing Beam, either some tactical JRPGs or either some fighting games. Lately I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Showdown. I will probably be picking up a JRPG soon from Steam if you want to follow along, and or if you know you miss any of those times, you just want to check us out and see some of the playbacks, that's perfectly fine. The next bit of news I wanted to get into is some of the content we'll be releasing. It's going to be a lot more reviews coming up, just me, Amazing Beam. I'm going to be focusing a lot on two series right now. Currently, it's going to be one, Digimon Adventure. This is not the Digimon Adventure of the 1990s and early 2000s. This is the remake that has just recently come out, and I'd like to revisit that series. And since I'm a fan of Digimon, I'd like to just follow up and just see how they've changed the story around, how they're rewriting it for a new generation, and just to enjoy some good shonen manga. Shonen anime also. I'm just a big fan of shonen in general, and I'd love to see what they did with a lot of the characters. I know over the years I've read some different articles about different ways they've written the characters and how certain characters had different quirks that we didn't pick up as children or the first time we watched the show. So I'd really like to see again how they rewrote the story and how they added some of these quirks, and if they, you know, if they sort of reimagined some of the quirks, like the relationship between Tai and Kari, or Tai and Matt, or one of the more famous ones, you know, Tai and Sora, or Tai and Matt, Sora and Matt, excuse me. Well, I guess I'm shipping a little bit of BL in there, but yeah, I just wanted to revisit that one. And also the second anime series that I'd like to watch is Yasha Hime, which is the sequel to Inuyasha. I believe that one is airing in early October. And just to give a quick little tidbit, it's, like I said, it's a sequel to Inuyasha. I wanted to see if this is going to follow in the same lines as, like, Boruto, which is the sequel to Naruto. Just because Inuyasha, again, was a favorite of mine back in the day. I'd like to see it get a good sequel, because it was a very strong, it was one of the anime that introduced me to what anime was. And I really would like to revisit it, and hopefully they've done it some justice by, you know, creating some characters that will preserve the legacy of the first series and obviously give us a new adventure to follow along with. So I'm going to be checking that out, and you'll probably be seeing those a couple of times a week, and we'll see from there. Obviously, there's going to be a few more types of content coming out. I'm not going to talk about it too much right now, but I just wanted to give a quick announcement in this small advertisement about some of the things that are going to be coming. And we'll still be releasing some commentary on the latest anime and manga news, and doing some roundtables. If you might have already seen some of the roundtables we've done, we're going to be doing plenty more of those, where we just sit down, chit chat about some of the news, some of the maybe more of the controversial things, and just kind of let everything out and just talk about, you know, what's going on in the anime community, some of the things that might be affecting how fans get their consumption, or just different anomalies in the industry in general. So we're going to be talking a lot more about that. So if you'd like to, just go ahead and stay tuned, and we hope to see you more on Animanga Nation coming up, either on the Twitch channel or listening to our reviews or listening to our roundtables coming up. And we have much more lined up for you guys. Hope to see you guys soon, and take it easy. Bye-bye.